Welcome to Haven Expert Series. Hi, it's Liz Lee from Haven Books, here in Hong Kong, surrounded by the South China Sea. Today I'm going to read an excerpt from Life Recipes from My Mother, the award-winning book by Betty Jamie Chung. Chapter 19, Respect, But Do Not Always Obey. We must respect and devote ourselves to our parents, but we do not have to obey them unconditionally. Filial piety, one of the cornerstones of Chinese culture and values, has two components. Xiao dictates that a filial child supports and cares for his parents with devotion and respect, and Shun requires a child to obey his parents and submit to their wishes unconditionally. In other words, filial piety implies care, support, devotion, and respect, as well as absolute obedience. Despite her relatively modern inclinations, my mother treasured many traditional Chinese values, and she subscribed to the concept of filial piety and practiced it fervently. However, she did not agree with the implied principle of absolute obedience. She held that we must respect and devote ourselves to our parents, but we did not have to obey them unconditionally. This view was very unorthodox, especially for her time. I tried religiously to follow my mother's lesson, but as I grew older, I realized that it was not always possible to follow this rule of always respecting your elders. It was especially difficult on one particular instance. I was in graduate school, and one Saturday my friend Maria invited me and a few friends to spend a day on her friend's yacht. She wanted us to chaperone the event, as she has not known this friend for very long. I agreed to go, not knowing what was in store for me. It was a beautiful autumn day, perfect for yachting, sunny but not hot. We teased Maria that this was an auspicious sign for the relationship. Of course, I did not realize that it would be one of the most trying days of my life. The yacht came to the pier to pick us up, but Maria's friend, the host, was not on it. And Maria announced that he was waiting at another pier nearer to his house. When he boarded, I was having a serious discussion with one of my friends and did not pay much attention to his arrival. "Betty, this is Frank, today's host," I heard Maria say. I looked up and saw Uncle Ma standing next to Maria. The world just froze around me. And then I heard Maria's voice. "Betty, are you all right? You look as if you've seen a ghost." I had. Her voice jolted me out of the shock in time to say, "No, I'm fine. I just had a dizzy spell. It must be the sun." I shook Uncle Ma's hand and thanked him for inviting us. He looked a little shaken as well, but fortunately Maria didn't seem to notice anything unusual in our behavior. I suppose love was blind. I was incensed that Uncle Ma, who I had respected as an elder, was disloyal to his wife, Auntie Ma, and deceitful to Maria, my friend. I did not think that I could ever look up to him again. I also had to decide whether to tell Maria the truth, a real struggle. After many hours of agony, we finally returned to the pier. I was delighted that the ordeal was over, at least temporarily. Maria stopped talking about Frank shortly after that yachting day. I was relieved, but I never asked Maria about it. Perhaps Maria found out about Frank being Uncle Ma. Or perhaps Uncle Ma decided to stop his charade. Whatever the reason was, I felt it was for the best for all concerned. Several months later, I saw Uncle Ma again at our house. He came to dinner. Though he attempted several times to strike up a conversation with me, my response was so brief that it was almost impossible for him to continue. After dinner, I excused myself on the pretext of having schoolwork to finish. I did not want to be in the company any longer than I absolutely had to. Hours later, I heard Uncle Ma leave and Mom's footsteps coming toward my room. When I turned my head, I saw her standing at the door with that frown on her face. the frown that she always had whenever she was less than pleased with me. "What's the matter with you?" Before I could respond, she continued, "You were rude and disrespectful to Uncle Ma. You are a grown lady now, and I do not want to have to reprimand you in front of other people. Don't try my patience again, understand?" I nodded. Then I decided to ask Mom a question. "You always teach us to respect our elders. What if the elder does not deserve that respect? What should we do?" My mother looked surprised. She hesitated and then answered, "If the elder does not deserve your respect, then you still must not be rude or let him lose face. This is common courtesy." She then locked me in her gaze and said, "Are you saying that Uncle Ma does not deserve your respect? He did something not worthy of it?" I resorted to silence. I could not and did not want to tell Mom about Uncle Ma's deceit with Maria. I remembered Ma's lesson on being careful with one's words. Fortunately, my mother respected my silence and did not pursue the topic. I had a suspicion that she knew about Uncle Ma's unfaithful and deceitful behavior, and she must have guessed that I had found out about it too. This incident with Uncle Ma made me realize that respect for elders is not unconditional. We must never be rude to them, but we do not have to respect them unless they deserve it. I am sure my mother would agree with me. Read all 42 lessons in Life Recipes for My Mother by Betty Jamie Chung. Available at www.havenbooksonline.com or amazon.com. Thanks for listening.